Do y'all understand that God knows everything? God knows the end from the beginning. The foreknowledge of God. So not only did God know how bad we were before we were saved, He knew how bad we were going to be after we got saved. And He saved us anyway.
Amen.
Salvation is all about Him. There's not going to be any strutters in heaven. Amen. You talk to the normal guy on the street, and he's trusting in some good thing he's doing or she's doing to get them to heaven. There's not going to be strutters in heaven. Everybody there is going to be giving glory to Jesus Christ. I'm here because of Jesus Christ, and that's all. Amen. And I'm just thankful for that fact that you don't have to do anything to impress Him as a child. Amen. I notice y'all put junk on your refrigerators like we do ours. Amen. And, you know, your kids, your grandkids, they color things and you put it up on the refrigerator. And when they color out of the lines, they mess up. Guess what, Mom, Grandmom, Grandpa, you still put it up on the refrigerator because they're yours. Amen. Amen. It's great. And God still puts our stuff on the fridge when we do wrong, when we get out of the lines. He still does because we belong to Him. And don't have to do anything to impress Him. He's made us accepted in the Beloved. You don't have to do anything to be accepted in the Beloved. He's made us accepted in the Beloved through Jesus Christ. And I'm comfortable with that fact. Amen. The devil, the Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. The devil's job is to make us look like junk. And if you feel like you're junk, you're listening to the wrong person. Amen. You need to listen to what the Bible says about Amen. You. Let me say this. There's a song we sing in the songbook, and I'll still sing it. Only a sinner saved by grace. But you know, the Bible never calls a New Testament Christian a sinner. Never. He calls us saints. To the saints who are at so-and-so place. He calls us saints. God never calls us. I know we sin. But we're not sinners anymore. We're saints. And some of y'all look at me funny. You know, some of you have a Catholic background and you think, well, the saints. I mean, no. If you have the blood of Jesus Christ shed abroad, you're a saint. Amen. And you're a saint or you're an ain't. One or the other. You're either a saint or you're not. Amen. You're an ain't. Amen. Well, let's turn somewhere. It's all good. Amen. Turn to Psalm chapter 85. I want to preach tonight about revival. I have a burden for revival. Talking to the gentleman back here in the back about, you know, politics is not going to save our country. It's not going to save our world. But we do need revival. And I don't believe that it's going to be a worldwide revival. Some Pentecostal type folks teach that, preach that. I don't believe it's going to happen. But I believe we can have a local revival. I think we can. I think I can have a revival. Amen. Let me say this about revival. Revivals were never preached down. Revivals were prayed down. You don't need a preacher to have revival. You need somebody who's willing to pray.
Amen.
And when you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, one person can have revival. And my question tonight, would you volunteer yourself for revival? And we'll get into that about just how God does it. Psalm 85, I turn to 95. It's Psalm 85. I like to read all the verses here. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fiercest of thine anger.
Those next two words is what revival is. Turn us. O God of our salvation. Revival is an act of God. Amen. You can't turn yourself no more than you can save yourself. And so revival is an act of God. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. And I want you to see, I don't know, frustration or what it is. He said, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? I mean, here, it's almost like he thinks, well, maybe we can't have revival. Maybe God's always going to be mad at us. He said, you're going to hold it out to all generations? I mean, you're going to take it out on my kids and my grandkids? And in verse 6, wilt thou not revive us again? I'm glad it says again. Again means if he does it once, it's a possibility he might do it again. It is a question that he's asking God, wilt thou not revive us again? And then it says, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Talked yesterday about worship. We talked about praise. And here's another thing, rejoicing. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. Joy is on the inside. Hey, I didn't see you back there. Hey, hey. Love, joy is on the inside. Rejoice is when it busts out.
Amen.
That's rejoicing. Joy is like worship. Joy can be cried. But rejoicing is when joy either oozes out, leaks out, or bust out, amen, and other people see it. Amen. Sometimes it comes out your eyes, weeping, amen. Sometimes it comes out your mouth, either hollering or laughing, amen. Just joy. And and again, like I say, it's not just Irish people. People in the States just like this. They're so quiet. They're so intimidated. Where they're not going to accept at a ball game. Now let me ask you a question. Let's say Ireland just got beat, didn't they? I just got beat. So, y'all didn't do much rejoicing, did you? But the other team, who beat them? Spain, those dirty dogs. Spain beat the Irish. I bet the churches in Spain are just like here. But when they won that ball game, how weird would it be for a bunch of Spain people in the stands and they win the ball game and they're sitting there, oh, wasn't that a great game? We won. We beat the Irish. That was great. Would that be spooky? Come on, man, would that be spooky?
Yes.
And a big arena, and he paid to pay good money, and they won the game, and they're sitting there quiet. That would be spooky. It should be spooky in church, and people are at least smiling. Or maybe even worse. It ought to be spooky. Yeah, it ought to be not the norm. I mean, of all people, we have the most right to be rejoicing. Amen. Amen. How come it's the other group that washes all the windows and they're not even sure they're saved? They're not even sure that they're saved. And they're washing windows, having a great time. And here we are, we know we're saved forever. Get a life. Get a life, people. Amen. Abundant life, we have it. I'm reading this verse. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I might have told you this before. I was preaching one time. I was preaching this passage. And as I'm preaching, God started asking me a question. It is very hard to preach and talk to God at the same time. It annoyed me at first, because I had a great message to preach. And then God interrupts me. And he's asking me a question while I'm preaching. And so he's the Lord. So you're trying to preach, but you're trying to not ignore God Almighty trying to talk to you. And so I'm preaching and God says, hey Blanco, he calls me Blanco, by the way. He says, Blanco, do you see many people rejoicing? While I'm preaching this, he said, do you see many people rejoicing? And so I'm trying to think. Now I'm talking to God, I'm preaching a message, and I'm trying to think, do I see many people rejoicing? So first I say, God, can you put this off till after the message? I mean, really, in my heart, I'm thinking, can we talk about this later? He said, you won't remember it later. And so I thought, I got it. So I thought, well, I just look at this crowd in front of. I'm looking around while I'm preaching, and I'm saying, not this crowd. I don't see anybody rejoicing. I don't see a smile anywhere. No, I don't see anybody rejoicing. And God says, no rejoicing, no revival. I've been in some, if it wasn't revival, it was close to it. And you couldn't keep people shut up.
Amen.
Testimony time, you couldn't keep them set down.
That's right.
I mean, they would stand up and then they'd want to stand up again. Oh, can I say something now? Can I say something? Amen. You couldn't, the preacher would have to stand at the door and flip lights on and off to people. It's time to go home. Because they're just glad to be with each other. They're rejoicing. They're enjoying each other's company. Revival is, that's a result of revival. So I'll just ask you that question and you can answer that. Have you been doing much rejoicing lately? And it means at least a what? Smile. At least a smile. Wilt thou not revive us again? Now listen. The rejoicing doesn't produce revival. And see this crowd here? They think this stuff produces revival. No, it turned around. Humbling yourself.
Amen.
Praying. Seeking His face. Turning from your wicked ways. That. But when you do that, He said, I'll hear from heaven. And I'll forgive your sin. And I'll heal your land. And when he hears from heaven and forgives your sin and heals your land, you'll at least smile. You'll at least smile. Amen. Are y'all with me now? Tonight, and I've got to hurry because this thing is 11 seconds for us. Turn it over. Feel like I'm in a contest with somebody. For as short a time as I can, I want to talk about the two revivals. The first revival I experienced is when I got saved.
Amen.
The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. The day I got saved, that morning, I was dead in trespasses and sins. What are you talking about? I'm saying my spirit was dead. I had no contact with God. I had no peace. I had no assurance. If I died, I was going to hell. I was dead, spiritually dead. That night, when I said yes to Jesus Christ, with the heart, man believeth with unrighteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, I was born again.
Amen.
My spirit was made alive. I was regenerated. Amen. I became a new person in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I experienced my first revival. I came in there dead. I went out alive.
Amen.
Amen. Now, since then, there have been times when world, flesh, devil, combination of the three, get me down spiritually, to where it's almost like I'm lost. And 2 Peter, it says, add your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, temperance. It goes on through. And says, if you don't add these things, you will be blind and cannot see afar off and forget that you're purged from your old sin. You'll get to a point where it's almost like it's lost.
That's right.
You need revival.
That's right.
I mean, praying is not like it used to be. Preaching is not like it used to be. I mean, you begin to be spiritually dead again, spiritually dull, at least dull to the Word of God, dull to the preaching, dull to praying, and you need revival. You need You need some life. Back in you.
There's a lot of similarities between salvation and revival. And one of them I just told you, they're both an act of God. You cannot save yourself. I mean, if you think getting in the tank is going to save you, you got something else coming. You cannot save yourself. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. Hath He saved us. We can't save us. He saved us. So, salvation is an act of God. Revival is an act of God. Turn us, O God of our salvation. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, then He'll hear from heaven and forgive your sins and heal your land. He'll send revival. But God has to do it. God has to do it. A lot of similarities between revival and salvation. Both, you have to humble yourself. In salvation, you have to humble yourself in a lot of ways. Sometimes if you belong to another religion and you realize, all this time in my religion, I'm wrong. My priest or my pastor or my bishop is wrong. And the Bible says this, but they're saying this. And boy, it takes some humility to say, I've got to break with this because this is right. This is the truth right here. Amen. And some people don't. Some people don't break with it because they'll let their pride and their upbringing, their raising, and they know that what the Bible says is one thing and what their church says is another, but their pride will not let them break with what they've been taught all through those years. Revival. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. It's hard for somebody, especially an independent, fundamental King James Bible-believing Baptist, to admit that they're dead. Do you know a lot of churches in the States now don't have revival meetings? You know why they don't have revival meetings? Do you understand that when you put a sign out back or in front or in a newsletter or on the website, revival services, do you know what you're admitting? We're dead.
That's right.
They don't want to admit they're dead. So they're not going to have the meeting. They're not going to put up the sign. They think if we have activity, that they equal activity with revival. You can train people to do almost everything. Soul winning. You can train. You can go out and hire people, lost people, and they can start a church. Listen, it's not a church unless you're doing something supernatural. But I'm saying it takes some humbling to have revival. It takes a lot of similarities between revival and salvation. One difference. In salvation, God is the pursuing party. There's none that seeketh after God. We've all gone out of the way. There's none righteous, no, not one. In salvation, we're running from God and He's chasing us. God sent the preacher. God sent the soul winner. God sent the prayer. Whoever it is. And your salvation, listen, and I've heard people testify and say, well, I was searching for the Lord. Now, they might have been searching for relief. They might have been searching for some peace. But they weren't. The Bible says they weren't searching for the Lord. But the Lord came searching for them. I was preaching on the street one day. I was preaching at 3rd and Main, Dayton, Ohio. Just passed that the other day, picking up a rental car. But I was preaching right there by the bus stop. And I was preaching, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Then Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open to me, I'll come into him, sup with him, and he with me. I was preaching that. So here's these people. I'm preaching. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, preaching about Jesus knocking, trying to get in. And here's some people. Some are listening. Some are mocking. Some are ignoring or acting like they're ignoring. And I'm thinking, here God sent a man of God with the word of God to these people, knocking on their door, trying to get into heaven. It should be the other way around. They should be banging on God's door, trying to get to God, trying to get to heaven. But it's not that way. The Bible says it's not that way. God goes seeking after them. Nobody was asking Jesus to die for them on the cross. For God so loved the world
that he gave his only begotten son. The world wasn't asking for him, but God sent him. In salvation, God is the pursuing party. God is the one that goes after you, the person praying for you, the preacher, the tract, whatever. God goes searching after us.
In revival,
if my people
which are called by my name shall humble themselves.
And what's God done so far? Nothing. And pray. What's God done so far? Nothing. And seek my face. Now what's God done now? Nothing. And turn from their wicked ways. And what's God done here? Nothing. Then I'll hear from heaven. And I'll forgive their sins. And I'll heal their land. In revival, we are the pursuing part. God is not going to take a stick and beat you over the head and make you get revived. You have to go searching for it. You might have to beg him. Oh, you have to beg God. Let me give you two illustrations. You remember when Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat and meet me on the other side? He wasn't actually in the boat. He says, meet me on the other side. And a storm came. And the disciples, they were goofy just like us. You know that. I mean, here they are. They're in the storm, and boy, the wind's boisterous, and they're fearing for their lives. And then Jesus, the Bible says, comes walking on the water. And they're now arguing about who it is. It's the Lord. No, it's His Spirit. They're going back and forth about this, who it is, you know. And so, what? But the Bible says He's walking on water, and they're arguing about who it was. And the Bible says, and He would have passed them by. You ever read that? He would have passed them by. Now, if the Bible says He would have passed them by, would He have passed them by? Yeah. Did they need Him? Yeah. But He would have passed them by. And then Peter said, Lord! He stopped. But He would have passed them by. That's right. Hey, get his attention. Are y'all with me? He's not going to force you to want Him. I mean, even when we need Him sometimes, we try to do it ourselves. And He's not going to force Himself in. But all of us stand at the door. No, He's not going to bust the door in. Another passage. The road to Emmaus, remember the two disciples and Jesus, they're walking after the resurrection. They're walking with Jesus and they don't know who He is. And Jesus said, how come you guys are so sad? And He said, hey, you heard? And they start talking about Jesus being crucified. He said, now they've stolen His body. We hadn't seen Him. And Jesus, the Bible says, began with Moses and prophets and told them how this ought to have happened. You know, Christ should have suffered and died like this. The Bible says later their heart was burning within them when He opened the Word of God to them. But they still didn't know who He was. And so they got to their destination. And the Bible says He made as though He would have gone farther. He made as though He would have gone farther. Do you think He would have gone farther? It says He made as though He would have gone farther. And the Bible says, and they compel Him to stay with them. Compelling is not just, hey, would you stay with us? No, that's not compelling. Compelling is, hey, what you heard is, no, you don't have anywhere else to go. Come on, no, come on, stay with us. Come on, stay. I mean, you got nowhere else to go. Right? Compel. I mean, you just convinced them. And listen, Jesus made so He would have gone further. That compelling is, you're not going anywhere. You're staying right here with us. We're going to feed you. But He made His own way to come farther.
That's right.
I'm just saying, if you want revival,
you might want to be a little more sincere about it than you are right now.
Amen.
You might want to really get his attention.
Lord!
You might want to compel him. Compelling, I mean, you have to kind of get emotional about it. Get serious about it. I mean, listen, my wife and I, when we're married, we got serious about it. Amen. You want revival? You might need to stop him. Get his attention. You want revival? You might even need to compel them. If my people the first word
yes
does that kind of put it on us?
That's right.
Where I come from they say that plum puts it on us. Totally puts it on us. You want revival? Start with you. Don't start with him. Start with you. You might have to.
Lord!
His attention. You might have to. Compel. I do know this, that if we do that, he will.
Amen.
Turn us, O God of ourselves. Yeah, he wants to turn us. But he wants to know how bad we won't turn. He would have passed him by.
Can you picture that? I'm here and walking on the water, the storm, the disciples, and Jesus said, Peter said, Lord! Oh, somebody want me? Yeah. Yeah.
When we pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd reveal just where we are spiritually. Lord, just in this little principle here in Psalm 85 of if we're revived, we're going to be rejoicing. And it doesn't mean running around hooping and hollering. But it's been a long time since some of us have wanted to testify and just talk about the goodness and greatness of God. Been a long time since some of us have prayed and not wanted to get up. Been a long time since we've sat in a church service and wanted to hear more preaching. Been a long time since we just sit in church and just enjoy the things of God and just really don't want to leave. Lord, some of us, it was a drudgery to come here tonight. We'd rather be somewhere else. Sometimes it's like that when we know it's church time. Lord, but it wasn't always like that. Lord, I think about that little bus kid in our church that spent the night by the door on a Saturday night to make sure he got on the bus Sunday morning, slept in his clothes to make sure he would go. He was so excited about riding the bus to church. God, I pray you'd deal with our hearts. And Lord, if we are just that cold, that wandering, I pray you'd help us to be serious enough about it to call out to you like Peter did. Lord, you'd give us the tenacity or whatever it's going to take to compel you for revival. And just the humility of humbling ourselves and praying and seeking your face and turning from our wicked ways. Thank you that you're for it, but Lord, that first word, if, is going to be up to us. So I pray that we do our part in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, please. Would you stand? If you'd like to come here and pray, just spend, some of you men maybe want to come up here, and maybe ladies in the front row, whatever you want to do. But you just ask God to search your heart and what you need to do. Why don't you do it tonight? Why don't you do it tonight? All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender. Jesus, I surrender all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender
love you, and I do pray that you'd help this dear lady that fell. I pray you'd help her. Lord, I pray that you'd revive our hearts. Lord, with the psalmist, we want to say, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. And Lord, I pray you'd touch our hearts. I pray that we wouldn't just leave this building and leave this message and leave this thought. God, I pray you touch our hearts, men, ladies, boys and girls. Lord, we need you. And we confess that to you. We ask you to turn us, O God of our salvation. Would you turn us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.